It's the end of a long week. The weather is finally turning warmer and you're looking to unwind and relax outdoors. And you've got wine on your mind. So you reach in and you pull out a bottle of rosé. Really? Rosé? Yes, rosé. This is Which Way Is Life, your podcast for health and inspiration, and learning how to chill is a big part to a healthy life. So today we pull the cork on rosé, the pink drink, which has grown in popularity the last couple of years and gained respect from wine lovers everywhere. This is episode 55, and my guest today is Jennifer Simonetti Bryan. Jennifer is only the fourth woman in the U.S. to achieve the top international wine title, Master of Wine. She is an author, international judge, and professor for the Great Courses, and she has trained thousands of professionals in the hospitality industry and hosted seminars with Rachel Ray, Bobby Flay, Mario Batali, and other Food Network stars. She is a regular on national TV and publications, including The Today Show, CBS, Anderson Cooper, The New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Oprah, Food and Wine, Wine Enthusiast, and the list goes on and on. And now she's out with a new book, Rosé Wine, The Guide to Drinking Pink. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining me today. I like to start the show with the one thing. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
The one thing that I can say for people to do to improve their life today is at the end of the day, they write a list of three things. Three things that they are grateful for at the end of the day. So it has to be three. And I don't care if it's the day is over, tomorrow's a new day, and I'm alive. Like, that could be it. Some days you're not going to have anything to be grateful for. But, you know, at least you can write those three things down, and you can go on. You can write more than three, but you have to have at least three, because understanding that the day is over, tomorrow is a new day, and that you are still alive, that means you got room to go up. So that's my one thing.
I love it. That's great. And it forces you to think throughout the day of the good things that happen in your life. So that's great advice. And Jennifer, before we dig into your story, can you let us in on your personal life? What brings you joy when you're not saving the world?
When I'm not saving the world and giving people glasses of wine every day as a superhero, I crochet. That brings me joy. I also paint. My husband and I have found Bob Ross again. You remember the guy on PBS with the,
yes,
the afro?
The puffy clouds.
Love Bob Ross.
Puffy cloud.
Happy trees.
Happy trees.
Yeah, and we have found that we both love painting together. So we bought paints, and, you know, we look at sometimes at our mountains and they look like floating clouds, but it's all good. It's all good.
Well, that's fun when you can find an experience you can share with your partner like that. So very cool. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Jennifer. I appreciate it. And I quickly want to mention Which Way Is Life has brought you.
I forgot. Belly dancing.
Belly dancing.
Belly dancing.
Okay. Now this one, I've yet to hear that one on this program. That's a new one. Now your husband doesn't do that with you. Does he do that with you too, your husband?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, okay.
No. My girlfriends and I, we found this belly dancing class in town, and that brings us lots of laughter and joy. So,
Jennifer, you've got a wide variety there, from crochet to belly dancing with painting in between. I love it.
Yep.
I love it. So much fun. Very cool. Well, I quickly want to mention Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. All right, Jennifer, let's get into this. The rosé revolution is on. So why is drinking pink the thing right now?
There is a rosé revolution going on. To be honest, in starting this book, I was wondering, why is that? What happened? Was there a spark? Was like all of a sudden someone woke up and said, you know, I think we should all be drinking pink now. I had to do a little bit of research, and it really is no one particular thing. It's a confluence of different factors. I think, number one, the United States has woken up to wine. Yes, we've always drunk lots of wine in this country, but now the United States is the number one nation of consuming wine in the world, and we have room to grow. So we have not saturated our market with drinking wine like some other countries have. So we're experimenting. We're going beyond what we're, quote, supposed to drink. And I think rosé wine has gotten a bad reputation for being cheap and sweet. And that has been challenged by a lot of different producers out there. So, for example, you have Provence Rosé. And I don't know if you remember from, I think it was 2014, it was like two straight years in a row that there was, quote, horror in the Hamptons. And I remember doing a TV segment on Bloomberg, and they were there. Is it ISIS? No. Is it an earthquake? No. But horror in the Hamptons. They ran out of Provence Rosé. And I think it was that kind of tongue-in-cheek aspect where they're like, hey, you know, there's this swanky, you know, area in the country that is known for having ritzy parties, and they're all drinking this dry pink stuff. Well, I want to be swanky and have it be affordable, too. So I think it's, sommeliers have started going, hey, we don't have to just have White Zinfandel on our list, which was like 10 years ago. If you had a rosé, that was it. That was your only option. And now you're seeing more rosés on by the glass lists in restaurants. And so I think that's definitely one aspect. Another aspect is pink Moscato. Pink Moscato, you see it in rap videos and music videos and songs. And so it seems to have displaced White Zinfandel as the only pink sweet wine out there. So I think in those countries, we've seen a lot of different factors involved in moving people towards rosé. And you don't have to love just red wine. You don't have to love just white wine. And actually, rosé is the most food-friendly, wallet-friendly, and crowd-friendly category that there is. I mean, if you're bringing a rosé to a party, chances are someone's going to like it.
Right. You know, it's kind of a smart and stylish wine, too. It's fun to be seen sipping a rosé now.
I also think, too, the color pink has been a lot more popular, whether it's from breast cancer awareness or seeing different golfers wearing pink all over the place. I think that pink itself is becoming a more and more popular color.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you were mentioning White Zinfandel. It seems like White Zin is growing up, or White Zin is like, nah, that's the old thing to do. That's what we all started on 10 years ago. Now the new hip thing is rosé.
And either pink Moscato or you're drinking a dry rosé. Yeah, White Zinfandel has some sweetness to it. And dry rosé, and people ask me all the time, what's the difference between dry and not dry? So the opposite of dry is sweet. And some people think they like dry wine, but they don't. They actually like a very fruity, sweet wine. So knowing what you're asking for from the sommelier can be, or from a wine store staff member, can be important.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a wine beginner, then, is rosé wine a good starting point?
It is. It is. In fact, you mentioned a little earlier that White Zinfandel is what we started on 10 years ago. I started on White Zinfandel. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to write this book for everybody, because there are people who love blush and white Zin out there. So why, I'm not going to make fun of people who like that. I mean, I started on it as well. So, and yes, rosé is affordable. It's kind of hard to find a rosé above $40. In fact, there's 70 wines in my book that I give recommendations on, and 75% of them are under $20, and 50% of them are under $15. So you get great value in rosé in comparison to red or white categories. So the quality is much higher for the price point that you're paying.
Right. So it is a good starting point for the price point, like you just mentioned. And what about the seasoned wine drinker? It's kind of a fun way to expand your horizons then, too, right?
Yeah. If you're a seasoned wine drinker and you are familiar with dry rosés, dry light rosés like Provence, you may want to dip your toe into something like Tavel, T-A-V-E-L, Tavel. It's a wine region that is not too far from Provence in the Rhone Valley, and it makes the opposite end of the spectrum. It's a very rich style. They're same grapes, but they're made in different ways. Provence is made in a way where you take the grapes and you squish them immediately. But because some of them are red, you still get that slight tinge of pink, which is the reason why Provence Rosé is very barely pink. And in Tavel, they take those grapes, and then they start to ferment them. And as the alcohol starts to rise in the fermentation vat, they start bleeding off, taking off some of the, liquid. It's either must or wine. And they take it off the top, and it keeps getting darker each time. So the longer you have those skins sit with the must or the wine, the darker and richer it's going to get. And so by the end, Tavel Rosé almost looks like a red wine, but it is rosé. But it's very intense in flavor. So it's got raspberries and cherries and a lot of other layers of flavors as well.
Wow, that's interesting. Can you spell that? What is the name of that wine again?
Tavel. It's the name of the region, but they all make the same kind of style. T as in Tom, A, V as in Victor, E, L, Tavel.
Very good. And we'll put a link to that on the show notes page at radiomd.com so you can find that.
Yeah. I usually go to wine-searcher.com, and that is a website that I use all the time to find wine anywhere. So if you put in your zip code, you put in the name of a wine or even the name of a region, it'll give you the name of a wine store close by that has that particular wine. So that's the one I use all the time. I have no affiliation or association with them. I'm just, that's the one I use.
Right. Well, that's a very good tip. And now is a good time with the warm weather on the way to start thinking about rosé. So I've discovered wine myself in the last 8 years or so. I was never really a big wine drinker. Now I'm so into it. It's crazy. And I love cabs. So I love the darker, heavier bodied cabernets. But that's kind of a winter drink. And when it really gets warm outside, I drink a lot less cabs than last year. In fact, my wife and I and my sister and brother-in-law, we discovered rosé and we really love it. So now's a perfect time to talk about rosé with the warm weather on the way, because it is just a great warmer weather drink.
It is. Yeah. And actually, you used to see rosé only between Memorial Day and Labor Day, just like white shoes. But now you're seeing it actually all year round in wine stores and in supermarkets. But you're right. It's having a big, bold cab when it's hot out is kind of like having braised short ribs or a big, beefy stew and it's like 95 degrees out. It's just not what you're craving. You're
right.
Craving something that's fresh and light and refreshing. So that's where rosé comes in quite well, so I can understand that, yeah. I moved to Los Angeles from New York, and it's warm here, all year round. So at anything, 65 degrees to 95 degrees. So this place is perfect for all year round rosé.
Right, and we're looking forward to sampling and trying a lot more this summer. So you were mentioning blush wines earlier. Can you give us a little information here? How does rosé differ from a blush type of wine?
Well, rosé is the enormous umbrella category of any pink wine. Blush is a subcategory of rosé. That is, the term blush was it's more for sweet wines. So if it's a blush wine, it's got a little tinge of sweetness, or it can be quite sweet. There's a wine in the category called Bracchetto. Bracchetto is from Piemonte in Italy, and it was actually, I love this, because the legend of Bracchetto is that it's the wine that Cleopatra used to seduce Mark Antony and Julius Caesar. And Bracchetto is very deep and dark, but it's low in alcohol. Sweet, and it's got a little effervescence, so it's really a very, it can go with strawberry shortcake. It's a delicious wine, so you can even pair it with some dessert.
Okay, gotcha. So speaking of that then, so blushes, so rosé is the big umbrella category. And in your new book, Rosé Wine, The Guide to Drinking Pink, you go through the history of rosé, how it's made, and you offer a quick and easy rosé quiz to help people find their personal style, such as, you're just talking about blush, crisp, fruity, or rich. So there's a lot to choose from and experience under that big umbrella.
Yes. And actually, when I was first writing this book, I was the biggest question I got asked was, are there that many to fill a book? That was the big question, because you rarely see books on rosé. But if you're going to get one, this is the one to get. I think I can count on one hand the number of rosé books have been written throughout, you know, the decades, including mine. So it's a category that hasn't really been taken seriously, I think, until now. And you could find so many different styles. And I wanted to make sure that people knew that there were so many out there. The world doesn't go into just White Zinfandel and Provence. There's a lot more than just, you know, sweet pink and dry pink. There's a lot more to it than that.
Right. Okay, so point us in the right direction. If we're going to try rosé, we're going to start to experience this wine, is there one we should try first? Can you point us in the right direction?
Let's see. Well, I would try a pink Moscato first. There's like a barefoot pink Moscato. You could probably try that. It's not expensive. It's like, I think it's $5 or $8. And if you hate that, then blush ain't for you. You're not gonna like sweet. It's a small investment, but then you're looking at the one of the other three categories. That's why I created the quiz. So after the quiz, you knew what direction to go in, because the questions are seemingly unrelated to wine. You know, what kind of juice and different preferences around things, but they lead me to believe about your preference around tolerance for bitterness or acid or body and alcohol and that kind of thing. So you get placed into the sort of the right category. And if it's not your category, you can kind of dip your toe in the different pools around of those different categories, like finger painting for adults. And the great thing is that it's very affordable to try different things. You know, for $40, you can try four different rosés and see which one's for you.
Right. So you mentioned barefoot Moscato. Would there be a second or a third one then? You would say, okay, if you didn't like this, try this. And if you don't like that, try this, and kind of get us on the right path?
Sure. There is a Provence rosé that's easy to remember, and it's X, A-I-X. It's pronounced X. And okay. It's very pronounced on the label, and you can find it very easily. And it's very widely available, and that is a very typical Provence rosé. But if you want to go the Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie version, Chateau Miraval is their Provence rosé. They spent $60 million on a Provence chateau, and they make rosé. And I think that's also another reason why we've seen an explosion in drinking pink is the Brangelina effect as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I've got
but
the barefoot.
But if you don't like that one, then you go towards the Chazelle. So, and the other things in between. And then a fruity one, you could probably try one from California, whether it's made from Pinot Noir or Merlot, or even one from Argentina. You could try a Malbec Rosé. They're making them now. So you could try many different kinds.
So is there a California Rosé you would recommend we try first?
Ooh, there's so many. I tried one last night called Lucy.
Okay.
Just the name Lucy, L-U-C-Y, and it's from Pizzoni Winery, and that one's made from Pinot Noir. There's also one called Brook from Oregon. That's a lovely one. That's also from Pinot Noir. But you're also seeing Grenache-based rosés as well. So you're going to see, like, Dragonette makes one. There's also one called Drunk Love rosé that you'll see. It's made from Grenache. So you've got a lot of different options out there made from different grape varieties.
Drunk Love, that's a great name for a winery, or a wine, I should say.
Isn't it?
So those are some great suggestions. I've got Barefoot Moscato, the AIX, Lucy, and the other ones you gave me. And again, we'll put those up on the show notes page at radiomd.com. So you were talking about food pairing in rosé. Any quick tips on food pairings when we're trying our rosé?
If your rosé has some slight sweetness to it, you can rest assured it's going to go with anything spicy. So whether it's barbecue or Mexican or Chinese Szechuan shrimp, that little sweetness is going to take the edge off the heat and pair beautifully and augment the fruit. If it's a very light style rosé, you're going to want to stick with something like grilled shrimp. That's not too light, but it's also got some flavor to it. And that's a compare and contrast that is going to really make the berry notes in that Provence wine stand out. And the rosé, the Provence rosé, is going to make the shrimp flavor really stand out. So that we call that a two-way pairing. They make both better.
Hmm.
And then for the Tavel style, the really, really rich version, you can go with grilled lamb or a hamburger at that point. So you have such versatility, whether it's a chicken salad with goat cheese and cranberries, or you're going a lamb or seafood. There's so much food and wine pairing versatility with rosé.
That is terrific. And, of course, your new book, Rosé Wine, The Guide to Drinking Pink, goes into all of that. Plus, it's got the personal style calculator as well. So a lot of information in there. If you're interested in rosé, make sure you pick it up. It's out now, Rosé Wine, The Guide to Drinking Pink. Well, coming up, we get the high five from Jennifer. If I could ask a quick favor, after the interview with Jennifer, hop on over to iTunes if you have an iTunes account and rate and review the podcast. Give me a star rating. Let me know what you think. Let me know what topics you'd like me to cover. And by doing that, we gain a wider audience. And it gives us a chance to get in front of more people and help more people live a more fulfilling life. So I would appreciate that. After the interview with Jennifer, if you could do that, I would appreciate it. The High Five with Jennifer Simonetti. Brian is next. Which Way is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way is Life, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So if you like listening to podcasts like this one, you're going to love Audible.com. So I would recommend you check it out and browse all the books you can download for free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/ and then type in Which Way is Life. Again, that's audibletrial.com/Which Way is Life for your free audio book. Time for the high five with my guest today, Jennifer Simonetti Bryan. Jennifer, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, question number one. What fueled your passion for wine, and when did you know you wanted to make wine your career?
Oh, it was a food pairing lunch, a food and wine pairing lunch that I had when I was in investment banking in London. And it was a Sancerre, a Sauvignon Blanc from the Loire Valley, and an herb-crusted salmon that just blew me away. And I thought, you know, someone back there didn't just throw these things together. They made a conscious decision, and that just sparked my interest.
And you never look back. I love that. That's a great story. Very cool. All right, question number two. In general, how can we get more enjoyment out of wine?
In general. I think there's a couple of different things. First of all, understanding your palate. We tend to gravitate towards things that we know we like. So by being a little experimental and trying different things and going to different, maybe a wine tasting or experimenting with different things or having a wine party to try different types of wines can add tremendous value and open up your world to things that you may never would have predicted that you would have liked. So that can be very enriching.
That is, and that's what I love about wine. It's that discovery of wine, that learning about regions and grapes and wineries, the discovery of new and different wines. I love that part of it. That's so much fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
So those are good suggestions.
And it changes every year because of the new vintage.
Absolutely. And you know what? And what really helped me was going to wine tastings, and I love the wine party idea too, so that's great advice. All right, question number three. What question do you get asked the most?
I think the biggest question I get asked the most is, are you a sommelier?
Mm-hmm.
And people mistake master of wine for sommelier, and they mistake people who know things about wine for a sommelier. A sommelier is the name of a wine waiter in France. It's the person who handles the wine at a restaurant. It's a job title. So if you know a lot about wine, you can be a wine expert, but unless you work at a restaurant handling the wine, you're not a sommelier. And so when people say, you must be a sommelier, no, I don't work at a restaurant. It was never my intention to ever work at a restaurant. And I think it's a very noble profession, and I think sommeliers are amazing. I just know that I fall asleep at 9 p.m., and sommeliers are generally there until the restaurant closes. So I knew that this was not going to be a lifestyle choice for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm very geeky And I love all the academia and learning about the different types of soils and the climates and the grapes and the viticulture and all that kind of stuff. That's what really excites me about wine. So the question I get asked is about, are you a sommelier? And that is, and I would have to say, no, I'm not a sommelier.
Well, thanks for explaining that, because I figured that to become a master of wine, you'd have to be a sommelier first. So that's, I'm glad you explained that. Thank you. All right, question number four. When you were awarded the qualification of Master of Wine, only the fourth woman to achieve that, what did you celebrate with that night? Did you open a bottle of wine?
That day's kind of a blur. I probably had champagne. I'm pretty sure I had that. I had champagne. When I was in London, when they gave me the actual certificate signed and everything, yeah, we definitely had lots and lots and lots of champagne. But the day I found out, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, New York time. I was living in New York at the time, and they're in London, and they were so itching to call me. I found out at 6 a.m, and I'm like, I can't even call anybody. Anyone? I tell my family because it's 6 a.m. So I had tea.
Wow. Tea. Okay. Very good. All right. Question number five. Last one. Finish this sentence. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is.
Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is that love covers everyone's faults, whether your own or other people's.
I like it. It's true.
Yeah.
Love wins.
Yeah, empathy, you know, yeah, love wins. Empathy and really, even if it's just self-love, loving yourself, being tuned into going, hey, I can like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And having empathy towards yourself. And
right.
So love covers your own fault in addition to covering others.
Very important. Well, thank you for sharing that. And thank you again, Jennifer. How can we connect with you?
Oh, well, you can find me on Twitter at Jedi Wine Master. That's my handle because I'm a huge Star Wars fan. So Jedi Wine Master on Twitter. But you can also find me on Facebook, also Jedi Wine Master, and Twitch. But the book is out on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. And I'm a huge Audible fan. I have to say, I am an Audible addict. Like
fantastic.
Got going on Audible at the moment. So.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, and if you want to sign up for Audible, my listener, use the code Which Way Is Life for a free trial. The book is out now. Jennifer, thank you so much. Rosé Wine, The Guide to Drinking Pink. And as I leave you today, I'm going to leave you with one of my own favorite quotes, which is, remember to enjoy the little things in life because one day you'll look back and realize they were the big things. Jennifer, thank you again for your time today.
Oh, thank you. And may I leave you with one of my own?
Oh, yes, please.
And cheers.
Yes.
Oh, may all of your joys be pure joys, and all of your pain be champagne.
I love it. I'm using it, and I'm going to give you credit for it when I use it. I'm not just going to steal it outright. That's awesome.
Okay, good stuff. You have a great day.
So fun talking with Jennifer. How about that toast? I want you using that toast this weekend, okay? That is your homework. You are to use that toast this weekend. Homework, you. Just want you to know that. And thank you for listening. Hopefully you learned something there. I know I did. And if you're a wine drinker or if not, try that rosé wine. It's really good stuff. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter. Hit me up there. Same thing on Facebook. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. And stay well.